And welcome to our gathering here today. It is it's good to be here. Benjamin, thank you so much for those deep and such meaningful thoughts around our communion celebration this morning. I really was moved by that and thinking about the unity that we should have in Christ. As Benjamin mentioned a moment ago, Ken and Kathy Ford have made the decision to follow Christ this past weekend, or this past week, rather. And it's been a real privilege to develop a friendship with you and for you to trust me to be able to have some studies together. But I just want to give credit to where credit is due, because Ken and Kathy have become Christians primarily because of the tremendous influence of Christians in this church that were just being gospel neighbors. You see, they're neighbors with Neil and Norma Adam, and also neighbors with Tom and Pat England, and both of those couples demonstrated what it means to be a gospel neighbor and invited them into meaningful friendship and relationship, and that just continued to expand to Larry and Linda Samuels and to Bev and Jerry Hines and so many others that developed really great relationships with the Fords. And so I got to be a small part of that with some Bible studies, but man, that legwork is so important as we just go out in the community and be what Christ called us to be. And I just am so thankful for the fact that you're doing that. And Godspeed his efforts through us to do that even more in our community. I want us to bow in a word of prayer as we get started. If you'd bow with me, please. We give thanks to you, Lord, with all of our hearts. We come together today to tell of your wonderful deeds. We will be glad and we will rejoice in you and in you alone. We come and we sing praises to your name, O Lord Most High, for you reign forever and ever and ever. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So today we're going to conclude a series of lessons that I entitled simply Deep. That sometimes the most simple of things are really the most profound, are really the deepest and richest and most meaningful things that God wants us to do, are really not all that hard to understand. It's just in the doing of it that comes the heavy lifting. And today we're going to look at part number 8 in that series. And I chose as the title of the sermon today, The Miracle of Love. There is probably nothing, I would say, of all the things we could explore in this series, there's probably nothing that is more simply deep than one of Jesus' final instructions to us as his followers. And what he says right here is really the essence of Christianity. Listen to the words of Jesus. A new command I give to you. Love one another. As I loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That's John 13, verses 24 and 25. Love has a powerful and dramatic influence wherever it's found. Love is really something that we all, I think, intuitively know can really change the world. And we need love now more than ever. In 1965, there was a song that came out written by Hal David. Some of you will remember this song. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. But what kind of love does the world need? Because there's all kinds of love. There's romantic, sensual, erotic love. There seems to be no shortage of that in the world today. There's family love, which, although is under its own attack in our culture, seems to just naturally be borne out as families emerge in our world. There is friendship love, which again we see all around us. I think the kind of love that we need so desperately today that there is far too little of is a specialized kind of love that, for the purposes of today, I want to call as is love. Now, you say, what do you mean by as is love? Okay, so you may have done, as I have done on many occasions, and have shopped for a used car. If you search the classified ads or Craigslist, or you look in your local newspaper for the opportunity to buy a used car, you know that sometimes you will see an ad that will say, car for sale, as is. Which means that there's probably something a bit questionable about this car. There's something that's not mechanically sound. For instance, the car might have pristine interior, but no transmission. For sale, as is. In other words, don't ask me to put a transmission in this car or do any repair. What you see is what you get. So if you're interested in buying this, it's for sale, as is. We don't pay top dollar for as is. You're going to try to talk the person down off their price because it's not in the kind of condition that you need it to be in. Now that makes sense when you're buying a car. But I wonder sometimes how often that I have, and maybe you have, dismissed people around us because we didn't want to have to pay the price of loving them as is. I think too often we don't love that way. That's what the world needs now, is as is love. It's the one thing the world is all too short on. But that kind of love is not natural. Make no mistake. It is not natural for you to love somebody who does not love you, or even like you for that matter. It's not natural for you to actively pursue kindness and blessing to somebody who is hostile towards you. It is not natural to love somebody who is going to offer you nothing in return for your effort. Nothing. It's not natural to love that way, but the world doesn't need more natural love. What the world needs now is supernatural love. The world needs a love that is otherworldly, that does not come a dime a dozen or naturally in the world around us. We need as is love. What we need is the miracle of love. And this kind of love, let me tell you, is nothing short of miraculous. We live in a skeptical world today, where fewer and fewer people believe that there is really anything more than what you can see, taste, hear, smell, experience. Fewer and fewer people believe in the supernatural. Can the world still today be moved by a miracle? Can God use me to perform a miracle? The world needs to see a miracle today, my friends. They need to see God at work. And I want to tell you this morning that the greatest of all miracles that the world needs to see performed by you and me is the miracle of as is love. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he was writing to a group of believers that had every possible spiritual, miraculous gift at their disposal. I mean, they could speak in tongues, they could heal people. They could lay their hands on somebody that's sick and they would get better by the power of God. They could prophesy and speak directly like a radio transmitter for God Himself. There was no shortage of gifts. And these miraculous signs were proof that God is real, that God is true, and that His message can be believed. But the believers in Corinth, like you mentioned this morning at the table, Benjamin, were not united like we wished Paul could have wrote to them. They were very divided over so much. In fact, there were some that were saying, the superior spiritual gift is speaking in tongues. And in other words, that's the real demonstration. If in fact God is alive and working in you. And that's the spiritual gift that should be more desired. It's a greater display of God. You see that in 1 Corinthians 14. And so they're arguing and they're dividing over spiritual gifts. And Paul says, you need to stop acting like children. And you need to grow up. Stop fighting like children over milk and get to the meat of Christian living. Paul says to the church, the body of believers there, everybody's got a purpose. Everybody's got different gifts and abilities. And they all work together, function together for the one body of Christ, he says in chapter 12. But then as he wraps up that chapter, he says, of all the gifts you have, of all the miracles that you might perform, there is a greater gift that in a more excellent way demonstrates the power of God in the world. I just wonder, what could that gift be? 1 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. There's a greater miracle than speaking in tongues that displays the power of God working through you. A greater miracle. Or even if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and I have all knowledge about everything that God has ever revealed, all spiritual truth. Even if I have faith that could move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. A greater miracle than prophecy, a greater gift than superior Bible understanding and knowledge. A greater miracle is love. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Do you see how Paul here is showing that there is a greater gift that we should desire? There is a greater miracle that can be performed through us that is greater than the sensational, that is greater than the spectacular, that is even greater than the sacrificial. There's a greater miracle. And he tells us just what it is. Verses 4 through 12 tells us what that gift looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part will disappear. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away the childhood behind me. Let me stop there just for a moment. Love is the greater miracle because it is a supernatural demonstration. It is not a natural feeling only. Not the kind of love that's being described here. It's not an emotion. It's not a feeling primarily. It is an act. It is a choice. It is an otherworldly act that requires something from you and me that is not our natural. And in that way, it is a greater gift. And in that way, we might just call it what it is, a miracle. You see, loving people as is a miracle of God. I mean, think about it. If you are patient with people who push you to the limit, but you're patient, that requires a miracle, friend. If you're kind in the face of somebody being unbelievably harsh towards you, but you're kind, that's love and that's a miracle. If you're not easily angered when people push your buttons, if you don't envy what others have or boast about what you have, that's supernatural. If you're others seeking and not self seeking, that's a miracle. If you love in such a way that your love never fails, no matter what, tell me that's not a miracle. And just why is it a miracle? It's a greater miracle because it is a clearer miracle. What are miracles designed to do? Miracles always in Scripture were demonstrations to show people the power and the authority of God. To show that God is real and that His messengers are giving a true message. What did Jesus say? He said, the way that the world will see that you are truly my disciples is how you love each other. It is a sign. And it's a clearer one. It's a more complete one. Because miracles, tongues, and prophecy, and all of those things that were mentioned here, they were a needed mechanism, but he speaks of those things as childish things. They're elementary things. They're milk. Yes, they display God, but they're just small little glimpses, little blips on the radar when they occur. They just reveal God's nature in little bits and pieces. Like milk to spiritual infants, a miraculous miracle like tongue speaking or prophecy, or knowledge, or healing. It gives people a taste of God and maybe a thirst for God, But it's just milk. These are dim reflections, like looking in a mirror that is not a very good mirror. It's a distorted mirror. You get a reflection, but it's distorted. But love is a clearer demonstration of God. How much clearer? Verse 12. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. The greater gift is love, because love is an encounter of a face-to-face view of God. You want to see God? Then see someone loving another person in a sacrificial, as-is kind of way. That's a demonstration of an otherworldly act that puts God at the forefront. Love is a being known and a knowing someone else too. It is a greater demonstration of encountering God, and it is a greater miraculous gift as a result. There was a follower of Jesus who knew Jesus very well. In fact, the Bible remembers this man as a beloved disciple. And I want you to listen to what this man that knew Jesus literally face to face has to say about how you can see God displayed in the world. This is from 1 John chapter 4. Just listen to it now. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete. I might put, is made put on display in us. What the world needs now is an as-is kind of love, an otherworldly kind of love, a decision to choose to love even people that we might think are unlovable. It's a choice. It's a decision to display and perform a miracle, that others might see God and what God is capable of, and how He's able to love the unlovable, and even while in our sins, love us and seek our good. You see, love is a deliberate choice to value another person as is. And so here's the how we go and live this out, because this week, what I want you to remember, the one thing I want you to know from this sermon, is I want you to know that the greatest miracle that shows God to the world is when we choose to love other people around us as is. when we make that choice. And so this week, I want to challenge you and me to be more aware of who we are in Christ. That God so loved us because He so loved us like that. He loved me as is. While still in my sin, He loved me and sent His Son to die for me. And that is such a moving concept that draws my heart to Him. And since He loved me that way, then I ought to love others that way. And value other people as is. So this week, I want to challenge you and me to be on a deliberate mission to value other people by giving the gift of love. So how might you do that? How might you and I be on a mission to value other people? I want to give you a series of three suggestions quickly that are anybody can take this no matter what level that you're at. You might want to start off very simply, but take a step. Or you might take a greater challenge, but it can start this way. This week, give the gift of a compliment to somebody. Be on a mission to this week for the next 7 days. Be on a mission to deliberately seek out things that you can compliment the people around you for. In particular, try to give the gift of as-is love and find something to compliment in somebody that ordinarily you might not see all that good of things in them, but look harder. And find something and notice the little things and show people around you, maybe a coworker, maybe an employee, maybe your boss, maybe a neighbor, maybe a spouse, a friend or a child. And notice the little things and show that person or several people this week that they are valued. Because they are God's children made in His image just like you. People for whom Christ died just like you and me. Now that might mean something that you say in person, or it might mean writing an email or a note. But give the gift of a compliment. All of us can start out on the mission to value people and do the hard work of loving as is by starting that way. Or maybe you say, okay, I want a little bit more of a challenge than that. Give the gift of a favor this week. Find ways to bless somebody in your life with an unsolicited service. In other words, unsolicited means they didn't ask for it. You just simply, out of the blue, show up and do a favor for somebody to show them that they're appreciated. That might mean you do the dishes this week. That might mean that you run an errand for somebody to alleviate their load without being asked to do it. It might mean you fill the tank with gas without anybody saying anything about it. Or you anticipate a need that somebody has around you at work. You know they have a need and you just go ahead and do it. You see it and you do it. And you give the gift of a favor to show this kind of love. Or if you really want to amp it up, I want to challenge you to perform a miracle this week. What do I mean? Go do something for somebody that is extraordinarily, unexpectedly, shockingly kind and helpful towards someone that you don't necessarily like. That you, in your natural self, would not do those kinds of things for. Somebody that could never perhaps repay you or would want to repay you for it, but go and perform a miracle. What do I mean a miracle? I mean you do something that is so shocking, so kind, so extraordinary and unexpected that the person doesn't even know how to process what you just did. And give glory to God for all of it. I want us to go this week and show our community a miracle. The miracle of love. The greatest of all signs and wonders. Because you know what? In a world like today that is full of hate, our old world needs some miracle workers. So let's go perform a miracle of love to the people around us. Sometimes in the summer, you might enjoy a yard party with someone, like the fish fry, or you might be in someone's nicely designed outer living room watching a football game or something. And frequently, you'll see, as a part of the design of being outside, people will hang a string of lights to illuminate their backyard. Have you ever noticed a string of lights that one light illuminated, then, because they're wired in series, provides a connection so that the next light can be illuminated, so on and so forth, all the way down the line? But at least it was the case with old strings of lights, like you might hang on your Christmas tree. If one of those little bulbs was shot, the whole string goes out. So I want you to see that each one of us is to be a light to put on display the love of God in our world. And if you'll go out there on a mission to love and illuminate the love of God, then you know what happens? Sometimes, because you're shining that light, it becomes contagious and causes the next light down the line to shine too. One after another in a series. Because you know what? We were wired by God to pass on His light and His love toward others around us in this world. So that's our challenge this week, to go perform the miracle of love. I want to invite you to be with us on Sunday nights starting tonight. Tonight is night number one of summer nights. We're not going to meet up here in the auditorium, but rather we'll meet downstairs in the fellowship hall. We're going to have some wonderful time of Christian togetherness and showing our love for each other, some fellowship. There's going to be some refreshments at the end, but before that, we're going to have a discussion about what does it mean to really go and love people. And we're going to have 8 studies through June and July on Sunday nights exploring what love, living love, looks like. Tonight we look at the first concept in the first part of the chapter, and that is, why is this so important? Why is it so important that we learn to love each other? We're going to dig into that a little bit deeper, and then we're going to explore each one of these characteristics of what love looks like each night in the series. So I hope that you'll be here tonight as we explore that. Now, to get you ready for that, as you leave here this morning, in the foyer, there's going to be a table right in the middle of the foyer with a stack of these sheets. And what this sheet is on the back side is the questions that we're going to be discussing around tables tonight in the fellowship hall. Some of you, I know, feel a little bit better prepared to be able to bring some meaningful discussion and thoughtfulness to the conversation if you've had a chance to think about the questions ahead of time. So there's some questions here that you'll have at the tables tonight. I want to encourage you to pick one up this morning, though, and this afternoon, maybe after lunch, maybe before your nap. You read through these questions and think about them, and then pick out and circle maybe 2 or 3 of the questions that you think are really the most important questions to you that you would like to discuss with others tonight, and then come to the table ready to discuss them. Also, before you do that, on the other side of the sheet is a little self-exploration questionnaire. It's a little questionnaire that I want to ask you to fill out yourself to just think about how much that you are showing love to others around you, and maybe how we need to maybe get a little better at doing that. So I want to encourage you to fill that questionnaire out. That's just to generate some own thoughts. You're not going to be asked to share the answers of your questionnaire tonight, but it's going to start stimulating some thoughtfulness in your mind to really bring some rich and important content to your discussion at the table tonight. So I hope that you'll grab one of those and work on that this afternoon, and be prepared to come back, be with us at 6 o'clock. Let's go on a mission to share the power of the love of God in our community, because you know what? It really is a meat of the word kind of issue. I mean, it's the essence of who God is and the essence of Christianity and our discipleship of Jesus is to show this world a miracle by spreading an otherworldly kind of love. It's what the world needs now. If you've not experienced the power of the love of God, I'll tell you where it starts. It's by coming to understand the power of who Jesus is and what he did for you. If you don't understand that yet, we'd like to have a study with you. I'd like to meet with you, and there are others here that would like to do that as well, perhaps, that we can explore that in greater detail so that you understand the powerful demonstration of the love of God in Christ for you. And then once you understand it and believe it and choose to embrace it and change the direction of your life to live for Jesus and be buried with Christ in baptism and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, one of his works to come inside of the believer is to help you and I to experience the height, the width, the length, and the depth of the love of God in Christ Jesus for us. So you want to come to know the illuminating, inspiring, powerful, life-transforming experience of the love of God and taste that goodness? Then you got to give your life to Christ and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We would encourage you to respond to the gospel if we can help you, or if you need prayers privately with one of our shepherds of the flock, there will be available in the library this morning. If we can help you, come to Christ as we stand and as we sing.